the rim to win this week with Tim Hortons. Anybody do that? I've decided that roll up the rim to win, that is a Christian's way of scratch-offs, you know? It's the Christian scratch-offs. You're like, I don't believe in gambling, but you'll go and get an extra coffee just to roll that thing up. Oh, please try again. I've won one time. I bought like a dozen coffees. Sometimes I don't even drink up, I just pour them out, you know? I'm just kidding. That has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to get your attention. How'd that work? Is that cool? I was going to get Heidi to sing, right? So, awesome. Well, we are so glad that you're here with us this morning worshiping with us. You could be anywhere, and you're here, and we love that. That's awesome. We don't take it for granted. We're in a series going into Easter called Undivided. Last week, Pastor Jeff did an awesome job, didn't he? While he was sick, and he comes, like, totally, like, nails it. I said, off the charts, fantastic. But that's what the Word of God does, right? The Word of God just jumps off at sometimes just like, wow, it's crazy. And we're in a world of a division, right? Everything is divided, and that's what the enemy likes. And last week, Pastor Jeff talked to us about how Satan, Diablo, if you want to say, and how he just loves division. He loves it. And that's, he has all these schemes and ways to get around it. We have to be keen to that. We have to think that God brings unity. God wants us to be undivided, but also that there's another world that's happening where we have to be aware of that and realize that the enemy is coming after us. So this week, again, we're in Ephesians, if you didn't know. This week, I was wondering if you could open your Bibles to Ephesians 5, verse 21. While you're there, this is going crazy. While you're there, Ephesians 5, verse 21, we're going to read this this portion here, and I don't have it on the screen, so if you have your Bibles or your app on your phone, if you could just pull that up, that would be fantastic. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and it's Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Now, all of a sudden, the ladies hate me in the room, right? All the ladies in the house, all the wives are like, oh, this guy. I got something for the guys, too. Here you go. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's heavy, right? Jesus died for us, the church. Husbands, you got to do the same. To make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love your wife as himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So we got that taken care of, right? Got husbands and wives. So some of you are here, and you're like, I'm not married. I got something for you here, too, okay? Children, Paul says to the church of Ephesus, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Where's my daughter? Oh, she's downstairs. I got to make sure I tell her. If you want your life to go well, you better listen and obey me. But we got some for the parents too. Fathers, do not ask. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. So don't drive your kids nuts, okay? Don't, like, go after them and make them, you know. We know what we're talking about, right? Is this hitting any chords with anybody? But we got more. And while I'm reading in this, and we're in 6 now, verse 5. At this time, this is a time era. There's using the words of slaves and earthly masters. We're going to use employees and employers or bosses, okay, for our conversation today. Slaves or employers or employees, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. Ooh, come on. We do that sometimes, right? It's like you're not working hard, but the boss walks in. You're like, I am just so worked up. I'm working all time. And then he leaves and you're on Facebook, you know. Come on. Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, liars. But as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, serve wholeheartedly as you are serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Now, here we go, because the bosses in the room are like, yes, finally, they're going to do as I say, and they're going to love, you know, they're going to obey me. But listen, we got some for you, too. And masters, employers, bosses, treat your employees the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, there is no favoritism with him. So we've covered all the basics, right? And it started out with, you know, you're going to have to submit to one another. So what I want to tell you today, when we're talking about undivision or undivided, today, if you're taking notes, we're talking about that undivided relationships. Undivided relationships. As you know, Satan, Diablo, the devil, he wants to sever all relationships. He doesn't like that. Even when it looks like he's united as an evil force, there's so much division within that as well. He always makes it look good, right? But he loves division. He loves gossip and arguing and complaining. He loves divorce. He loves parents and their children splitting up and not talking to each other for 20 years. He loves bosses and their employees fighting amongst themselves. This is what Satan does. And that shouldn't be a shocker to us, right? We see constant friendships getting torn up on Facebook. We see constant marriages ending because of arguments about silly things like money, right? Trivial things. We see parents that are completely divided with their children. We see employees hating and despising their boss. But here's the good news. Even though the enemy wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy, God's heart is for us to be united. God's heart is not division. And I want to show that to you today. If you can keep your finger in that, we're going to be going kind of referencing that portion in Scripture for a while. But to show you, if you go to John 17, I want to show you a prayer. John 17, verse 21 through 23. I want to show you a prayer that Jesus prayed. And this is him just absolutely, I mean, this is his heart. This is God in the flesh, as we know, talking to us. Here we go. All of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me. You get caught in that and you can't stop. Sent me and he's loved them even as you have loved me. Now, there's a lot that's going on there, and I think sometimes we just read it and go, okay, but this thing is so stinking heavy. There is so much here that we're going to unpack this morning that is referencing those relationships. This prayer right here, there's two things that are happening, and it's with these may be. And also be. You see those? They're all over in there. And then you get caught up and say word instead of world. So to better explain this, I want to show you what's going on here. When Jesus is saying, when he's saying, Father, just as you are in me, as I am in you, here's what he's referring to. This, we know this as the Trinity. This is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You understand? This is what he's referring to. Jesus is saying to him, God, as you love me, and I love you, and the Spirit loves me, and the Spirit loves you, all that's going on. He's talking about the love of God. He's talking about this right here, the Trinity. And you can think about it as this, like we generally think of God as persons, three distinct persons that are united as one. Think of it as a community, right, of a perfectly united community. Perfectly submitting to one another community. This is all going on in heaven. This is who God is. This is God. God is perfect unity. He is. He can't help it. He can't change it. It's who he is. We actually read about it in Scripture. It says that that God is love. We read that in 1 John 4:16. God is love. Love is undivided. So therefore, God is undivided. I don't think any of you really believe that God's divided, right? Because we believe that God is this. This is love. This is who God is. There's nothing you can do or change about it. So we see these three unique personalities in a perfect community with each other in love. Now, while that's amazing, it is, right? That's just, it's hard to fathom. Now, with that's amazing, I want you to think about what he said. May they also be in us. Okay, so what we're doing is we're taking, Jesus is saying, may they also be in us. So as the Father loves the Son, and as the Son loves the Father, as the Holy Spirit loves, and they're all submitting and loving each other as one, Jesus' prayer is that you and I would be able to be a part of that scenario. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what else does. Jesus' heart, God's heart, is that you and I would be able to receive the love of God. In the same way that God loves his Son and vice versa, all that is the way he loves you and wants you to experience it. We're seeing this as a vertical, I'm calling it a vertical replication of God's love. It's vertically happening, right? You're receiving from the Lord. You're giving everything. He's telling you how much he loves you and cares for you. You're now a part of what's going on in heaven. You are now a part. That's God's heart. He doesn't want to be separate from you. He wants to be as close-knit. We just read it. May they also be in us. That is huge. God doesn't just want to be God and have love. He wants you to experience the same love that he experiences within himself. It's amazing. He wants us united like God's united. I mean, he humbled himself and he submitted to the Father. And we see all this stuff happening. It's like, how does that make sense? It's perfect love. It's perfect unity. It's perfect. So God's heart is that for us to receive that same love. But wait, it doesn't even stop there. It keeps going. Jesus then says, listen, it's not just an experience so you can be like, oh, I feel God's love, I'm good. That's not what he's talking about. Here's what he's talking about. That they may be as one as we are one. We see that right here. That they may be as one as we are one. So we are receiving that vertical replication of God's love. Like we're getting it, and now it's overpouring. Like you ever fill up a cup and you fill it up so high, it spills out all over the place? My daughter does it all the time. Can I get some milk? No, right? Because she's not going to just fill it up halfway like a normal person, or at least three quarters of the way. She's got to go to the brim. And when she goes to the brim, it's spilling out. That's what God wants to happen to you. He wants you to receive God's love, his love for himself. He wants you to be a part of that, so much so that now you're pouring out of your heart to other people around you. And this right here, this is the best diagram to show you. Here it is. So you got your vertical, right, up and down with God in you. Now we have the horizontal replication of God's love. That not only are you just going to get filled up with God's love, but to overflowing, going to the people around you. This is God's heart. That when we pray for on earth as in heaven, this is what's happening in heaven. This is what's happening in heaven. This is perfect unity. Because you're so full. Everybody's like, well, there's no sin, so like, will I not have a desire to? You are going to be so full of God's love that you won't be able to think about sin because all your needs will be met. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. You're not going to have anything, and we're going to get to that. See, God's heart is that we would experience his love to that overflowing capacity, that we'll fully do it, because God wants us to be a mirror that reflects his love. He wants us to be a mirror that's reflecting his love to all those around us, to the world, so that they may see that you have sent me. That's what Jesus says. So people can see you in your relationships with your spouse. Oh my gosh, they like totally submit to one another. They love each other. People do that, right? They're looking at your marriages. They're looking at your relationships. They look at how you treat your boss. This is God's heart. This is what he wants for us, all mankind. This is he wants the this is the glory of God, folks. A lot of people get confused about what the glory of God. This is the glory of God. This is what God wants. It brings him glory. It's amazing. So here's the bad news, though. This is God's plan, but it's not really happening right now, right? You log on to Facebook, especially this week. Whew, it's been a doozy out there. I've seen people fighting and losing their friendships over stupid things like a gun. You know, what happened to, you know, you have an agreement, we have a disagreement, but hey, let's agree to disagree. That's not even a part of it anymore because the enemy loves division. He doesn't want us to get along. Guess what? You're not going to agree with everybody. I hate to tell you, right? You're not going to agree with everybody. We may agree on some things. Let's just settle on that, right? Let's let this stuff do the talking. Well, so many times we just want to argue God. Oh, God, and we're being nasty. We're not doing this. We're not doing horizontal replication of God's love. We're just being a sounding board. No, God wants us to be a mirror. He wants us to reflect his love for all of humanity. So our world's messed up. Wives aren't loving their husbands. Husbands are dominating their wives. Children aren't loving their parents. Parents aren't loving their children. Employees and bosses. The world's divided. It's messed up. It's a screwed up place right now. That's not God's heart. That's not what he wants. It's not what he wants. So here's Paul, right? After Jesus has come, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, and he's looking at this, and he's looking at their relationships, and I got to imagine that they're probably quite like ours. Division. A lot like the things happening in our lives. He's looking at this, and he's like, yo, this ain't reflecting God's love. This is what you guys are doing in your marriages and your friendships and your with your families. It's not. He's pointing these things out. He's saying your horizontal relationships are broken. Your horizontal relationships are broken. Your wives are manipulating their husbands, and husbands are just controlling their wives, and kids are just saying, you know, being, and we've seen this, right? We can see it. You can see it in your own families. You can see it. And why is it like that? What is the problem? Why are we at this point? Why Paul's got the problem with the church of Ephesus. He's saying this is not what God wants. And many of you, you know, when I read that, when I started out reading the word in Ephesians, I know some of you probably felt like I did and said, oh, that's really hard. Anybody? That's like really hard. You know, it's like I watched a movie the other day, Star Wars. Anybody watch the new Star Wars? And all my friends, some of my friends are like, that's not realistic. It's Star Wars. Impossible. That could never happen. It's Star Wars. I don't know what to tell you. That it's impossible. But that's why it's fun. But that's how we look at that thing in Ephesians, right? We're like, this is impossible. This is not realistic. I want to show you this morning that it is. That it is. That this here, what God's desire is realistic because it's with God. Just like a Star Wars movie is realistic because it's within fantasy world, God's world is not fantasy, and guess what? This can happen, and it starts with us. So what's the problem? Why are we not, this horizontal thing is broken, right? Our relationships are messed up. You know, some of you have children that are so far gone, and you're like, what is going on? Some of you have parents that haven't loved, you know, we can see this. I'm sure we can all think of our own, but why? What's the problem? And more than that, what's the solution? Right? Because we always talk about the problems. What's the solution? I think that when I first started speaking in Ephesians, that Paul actually unlocks the solution to his problem. He actually tells us before we even start reading. In verse 21 in Ephesians 5, he says, submit to one another out of reverence in Christ. The Message translation says, out of respect for Christ, be courteous and reverent to one another. In other words, if you want to love one another, you have to focus on God. He tells them, before he even gets into it, he tells them, out of reverence in Christ, submit to one another. Out of focusing on Christ and realizing what he did on the cross, that's when you say, oh my God, God loves me so much. Oh my God, God, I love you. Oh my gosh, and now you can do it. Because you've been full. So I'm going to explain this. The focus here, here's the deal. If your horizontal relationships are broken,
Guess what? That probably means that your vertical relationship with God isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. There's a problem. It's fragmented. There's something not working. If you have like your marriage falling apart, guess what? Maybe you're not really going well with God, right? Maybe you're not fully getting what God has for you. So, but we don't go that route the first time. We don't go straight to God. As humans, what do?
Well, I could fix it. I'll just buy her something shiny. Here you go, honey. There's something shiny, and we think that will fix it.
And wives, I'm going to tell you the same thing. You try to fix something too, right? You try, hey, what's up? I'll buy you something a little extra to put on tonight. And that don't fix it, right? But we all try these trivial things to try to work out our relationships. You know, children are sucking up to their parents to get ungrounded, right? They're trying to fix it. Well, maybe if I sweep a little bit and do this. You know, all this stuff is going on. It's going on with our bosses because we're trying to fix it out of our own power. It doesn't happen. It can't work. You can't do it. You can't fully love your boss until you fully understand God's love for you. Right. It can't pour out. It can't expand. It can't just overflow to the next person and them to you. So here's how it works. This is pretty basic. I think we can all understand it. Every person in the world is born with a God-shaped hole in their heart. Every person is born with a hole in their heart that only God can fill. Now, the problem is when you're born with this, that means this is where you get the longing for wanting to be loved, and the longing for wanting to feel worth, and the longing for wanting to be successful, and wanting people to care about you and affirmed. This is where that comes from. You're born with it. I've been born with it. We've all got it. We've all got that hole. All of us have this hole. God's the only one, out of his perfect love, remember the diagram, I made it the same shape so it makes sense. So out of his perfect love, that's going there. Now imagine for a second, if you're not getting that from God, where are you getting it from? If you're not getting that hole filled, here's what happens. We start sucking. Look to your neighbor, say, then we start sucking. Go ahead. It's fine. I'll explain why. Some of you don't believe me yet. Here's what I mean. You start sucking the life out of everybody you can. Every relationship is now based off of what can you do for me? How can you fill this hole inside of my heart, right? How can you make me feel loved? How can you make me feel better about myself? It's all conditional. That's why marriages don't work out. Because why? It's based on conditions. I love you because you're pretty. Well, what happens when she's not pretty anymore? I love you because you laugh at all my jokes. Listen, my wife stopped laughing at my jokes a long time ago. Okay? It's all conditional. I'll love you if you can give me something. What can I get out of this scenario? So then what happens if you get a bunch of these people together? It's like a bunch of like black holes trying to suck the life out of everybody they can. And then you see conflict on Facebook because they're like, I want to feel validated. I want to feel right. Because they're trying to suck the life out of humanity instead of getting it from the source. Instead of getting it from God, they're sucking it out of each other. So if you're like, man, my husband's just not there for me. Oh, he doesn't care about me. Or you're saying, my wife, she won't spend time with me. She doesn't care about me. Maybe you need to start getting your worth and acceptance from the only one who can fill that need. It's crazy. I mean, I don't want to be a person who sucks. I really don't. You know, you see parents trying to suck life out of their kids because they feel unloved. They're like, will you love me? Will you care for me? And it drives them crazy, right? Because that's not how it's supposed to work, right? Well, they're sucking the life. I need to feel worth, so I need to feel like you're my buddy. That's not your buddy. It's your kid. Maybe later on in life they can be your buddy. But while they're in your house, you have a duty. It said right there, you have to lead them. You got to do the right thing. Listen, I love my wife. I love her to death, but she does not fill this hole inside of me. She doesn't. Your boss won't. Your employees won't. They're not going to fill that. You got to get filled. We see this really clearly in Genesis 3, if you want to just You can highlight it if you want, because I was talking to Pastor Jeff about this morning. If you guys know Fount Schultz, he was a teacher at Elam. Brilliant, brilliant guy. He's kind of the first person that we can remember talking about this. But in Genesis 3, you know, you got Adam and Eve. They sin against God, which, you know, maybe that's why my wife has a hard time picking out what we're going to eat for dinner, because the last time women were given that responsibility, well. I don't know. What do you want to eat? Just make a decision. Well, so we got Adam and Eve. They sin against God. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what happened? That vertical replication of God's love is severed. Banned from the garden. See ya. Right? They broke that. So now God's got to find out how can I get this restored, right? That's his heart. His heart is to bring it back. He wants us to be undivided. So here we are. We have them being severed from God. The vertical replication is broken. And then look here in Genesis 3:16. It says right here. God says to Eve, he says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, this word is teshuka. We practiced it this morning. Teshuka is a Hebrew word, and this word right here would mean like manipulate, control. So your desire will to manipulate and control your husband, and he will rule, mashal, over you. Now, this word mashal means to subdue and conquer. Can I just say right now, this is not God's design for marriage, right? It's not like he's like, here's what I want for you guys. No, this is a product of the vertical replication being broken. So therefore, now we're seeing the horizontal also broken. Do you follow me? You catching this? Is it making sense? So we have the vertical relation broken. Now the horizontal is broken. So this is why Paul is saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because Paul knows that, yes, that curse happened. But get this. You ready? Jesus, he broke that curse. Look, we got this here, right? This is what God wants, but the vertical was broken. It wasn't working. Jesus comes, and because of what he did on the cross, we can now have the vertical fixed and the horizontal fixed. That's a good thing. So Paul's looking at this, and he's saying, guys, what are you doing? You're doing it all wrong. You're not replicating God's love to one another, but maybe it's because you're not getting it out of Jesus. That's why you have to have reverence of Christ, for Christ, to think about what Jesus did on the cross to re-put together that vertical thing, right? The vertical replication. He wants to restore it. Woo, come on. I see this and I go, oh my gosh, there's hope for the world. There's hope for the world. I see this, I'm like, God, you are so huge. Like, you could do that. Because that's what he's thinking all throughout this Old Testament. He's like, man, he wants to be with his kids. He wants to love you. He wants to care for you. And then he wants you to have so much of his love that you are loving everybody around you. That's his plan. That's his desire. That's why Jesus came. So that you could be fulfilled. That you could have that God-shaped hole filled in your life. Completely. So now you're just, it's just natural. It's going out to everybody around you. I love it. The curse is broken because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's good news, folks. I just want to spend a little time this morning, maybe like just a few minutes, where we can really get everything out of God. Can we do that? Andy, if you could just come, that would be great. Listen, if you're here this morning, I wanted to keep it short because I wanted to leave some time for this. But if you're here this morning and your horizontal relationships are broken and you know that there's something messed up and for some reason you're not overflowing into your spouse or your kids or your boss or your friends, and you're sitting there, you're like, man, what is wrong? Listen, this morning, we'll turn the lights down low and we'll just spend some time getting it straight from the source. Here's the good news. The source never runs dry. Never does. It's not like, well, I gave everything to Andy. I can't help you anymore. Because that's how it is with each other, right? You ever say to somebody, I don't got anything left. I got nothing left. I can't give anything more out of me. Right? You've heard this. Diane tells me this every Monday when she's cleaning the church. I've had enough. I can't do it. Right? Make sure you pick up your trash on the way out. I struggle with this too, you know? It's like, you ever hear the phrase, I've had it up to here? Man, can I just say, when we're talking about this vertical thing, I want to say to God, God, I had it up to here and I want more. Why do we become, we just saying that we won't be satisfied. Why do we get satisfied with his presence? I ask myself that all the time. Like, God, why am I satisfied enough? I need it overflowing. I need it so much, God, that your spirit just crushes me. And then, you know, like probably more than 70% of the people in this room, when you hop on social media and then you can sense the enemy trying to do his thing and divide. What if we were people that in those scenarios of division with relationships and friendships, what if we were people that actually showed the replication of God's love to others? What would it look like if people started seeing our marriages completely unified and completely in submission and love to one another? What would they do? I'm telling you, as we're revival stars, I look at this and go, this is revival. This is revival. Man, I mean, you could lay down on the ground and God could do some cool stuff. That's awesome. But can I tell you, this is what he wants? Yeah. He wants you to be filled so much, so full, that you're just going out to everybody else. So I'm just going to ask right now, if you just close your eyes and spend some time with the Lord and ask him these questions. God, what do you think of me? And remember, he loves you. But you need to go to the source. God, fill me. Not so I just feel good, Lord, but so I can replicate your love to others. Some of you have had moments in your life where somebody sucked the life out of you in such a way that, you know, you're leery of this whole thing. You're leery of going to God for some reason. It's hard for you to open up to him. And I think some of you have had things in your life where things have happened to you. And I just want you to picture the scenario, whatever that is. Things in your life, finding out bad news or somebody hurt you, maybe as a child, whatever that is, and just picture Jesus in the room. Just picture God in the room. You know, things that have been spoken over you, what is he saying? This is part of going to the source. What is he saying? He's saying, I love you. He's saying, you're cared for. He's saying, my love is never going to end. It's never going to stop. I'm never going to stop loving you. That my love is sufficient. My love is all you need. You know, I think of that Jerry Maguire where he says to the girl, you complete me. And it's so not true. Because only God can complete us. Only God can fulfill that God-shaped hole in our hearts. So Lord, we're just asking today, would you fill us afresh? Lord, would we just be overflowing from this place so when we go to Tops or McDonald's or wherever we're going from after this, Lord, that we will just be overflowing to the people around us because, Lord, we have that hole filled. And it's going. Other people can experience your love through us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this. It's amazing. It's eye-opening. It doesn't make sense, Lord. It's like, you know, even just thinking of you, God, as being completely one, completely love. Lord, it blows our minds, and to think that you would allow us to be a part of that. Lord, we thank you for that. You know, we look at this thing in Ephesians, and Lord, I know Paul was trying to tell him the same thing. Lord, it's when we look at it as a laundry list, we're not doing it right. When we look at, well, I got to do this, 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 and this. No. We got to be focusing on you, God. We got to be focusing on you, God, because you allow us to do those things. You allow us to do the list. Lord, effortlessly sometimes because of how much you're filling us. But if we're not going to the well daily, continuously, Lord, we're going to get empty. So, Lord, let us this week, not just here, but, Lord, later when we get home, be full of your presence. Lord, be full of your love for us. Let us this tomorrow morning, God, wake up and say, God, just fill me afresh again. Overflow me, Lord, like the milk in the cup, Lord, just let it go all over the place. Lord, we ask you, please, help us. Help us, Lord. Our responsibility is to chase after you. That's our responsibility. If you're here this morning, you got issues with your kids, you got issues with your spouse, your boss, your friends, listen, just hear me out. Pursue the source. Ask for him. He's not going to hold it back from you. He will give it to you, but it's you that has to go to the well. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.